all of our ushers. Also this week, the choirs of St. Matthew's and Mount Zion collaborated digitally to pre-record the anthem you will hear today. Today we will celebrate Holy Communion at church and on the Golden Hour. For you at home, prepare the bread and wine as you've been doing. For those of you gathered here at St. Matthew's, I want to tell you a little bit about the flow. If you've brought your own bread and wine, you can stay in your seats and you will commune just before the Lamb of God. For those of you who would like to receive the bread from me, the ushers will start at the back center of the center aisle and move forward. And please use the hand sanitizer at the front and maintain 2 meters distance between you and the person in front of you. When you get towards the front, stop 2 meters in front of me and I'll speak the words to you, the bread of Christ. And then, once the words are spoken, come closer and I will use a small tongs and drop it into your cupped hands, okay? If you're choosing to refrain from communion, that's all right as well. Take your wafer back to your seat and eat your wafer there. A reminder to us who are gathered in the building that there is no singing or humming for either the hymns or the liturgical songs, but I know last week you started with some sign language, so we'll continue with that as well. Just a reminder, hear, our, prayer, hear, our, prayer, and amen is amen. There are different ways to do amen, but that is the gist of it. If you'd like to join in with me for the movements during the Great Thanksgiving, you're welcome to move in that way as well, too. Today's Golden Hour is sponsored by the family of Marie Schmolek in celebration of her upcoming 80th birthday, taking place next Monday, November 2nd. We wish you lots of love and happiness from Michael, Astrid, Leslie, Cassidy, Jason, and Agnieszka. And now for our introduction for today. Rooted in the past and growing into the future, the church must always be reformed in order to live out the love of Christ in an ever-changing world. We celebrate the good news of God's grace, that Jesus Christ sets us free every day to do this life-transforming work. Trusting in the freedom given to us in baptism, we pray for the church that Christians will unite more fully in worship and mission. We begin with the confession and forgiveness. The confession and forgiveness will be silent for in-person worshipers and spoken for radio listeners. I invite you to stand as you're able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, the one who fashions us, the one who heals us, the one who reforms us again and again. Amen. Let us confess our sin, calling for God's transforming power. Source of life, we confess that we have not allowed your grace to set us free. We fear that we are not good enough. We hear your word of love freely given to us, yet we expect others to earn it. We turn the church inward rather than moving it outward. Forgive us, stir us. Reform us to be a church powered by love, willing to speak for what is right, act for what is just, and seek the healing of your whole creation. Amen. God hears our cry and sends the Spirit to change us and empower our lives in the world. Our sins are forgiven. God's love is unconditional. And we are raised up as God's people who will always be made new. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Our gathering hymn, which we'll reflect on silently, 504, A Mighty Fortress, and I'll invite you to be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, gracious Lord, we thank you that your Holy Spirit renews the church in every age. Pour out your Spirit on your faithful people. Give them steadfast in your word. Protect and comfort them in times of trial. Defend them against all enemies of the gospel, and bestow on the church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain.
Then bursting forth in glorious day,
Our first reading is from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 31 to 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another, or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
God is a refuge and a strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Depths of the sea.
mountains tremble, tremble, tremble with its tumult.
The second reading is from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 to 28. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For no human being will be justified in his sight by deeds prescribed by the law, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. Though there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, they are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to show his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove at the present time that he himself is righteous and that he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes a boasting? It is excluded. By what law? By that of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We'll stand for the Gospel Acclamation, which you'll find on page 124, the Gospel Acclamation. The Holy Gospel according to John.
Praise to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean, saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I'll invite you to be seated. The psalm assigned for this morning is the one that inspired Deacon Scott's composition that you just heard. It is also the one that inspired Luther to write A Mighty Fortress. The hymn, which according to Ulrich Leupold, epitomizes Luther's thought and personal experience more than any other. Psalm 46 is a text synonymous with Reformation Sunday. And in the spirit of a people of faith and church called to be ever reforming, I am drawn to the concrete language of how the law and gospel unfold in the tumult of creation and the steadfastness of the Lord remains constant. The language of reform is not just language for this Sunday or for Lutherans. It's not meant to be a language of triumph, but humility. The language of being reformed is inherent in our baptismal call to be renewed and even reformed into the faith life God gifts us. To be reformed by Christ's life, death, and resurrection, and as empowered by the Spirit. It's a daily invitation and promise. So I ask, what does the psalm teach us about lives reformed? And what can we garner as learners along the way? For me, this psalm is extremely relevant for today. We are assured of God's presence and strength throughout the psalm, at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. From this, we hear again and again that God is faithful, showing up a present help in times of trouble, our stronghold, our refuge, and strength. And let's face it, we need to be reminded because life is not easy. We need the waves of God's grace to wash over our lives continually with an unending rhythm. Our community and world need God's inexhaustible grace to make order out of chaos. When the earth moves and the mountain shakes in the depths of the sea, when the waters rage and foam, the mountains tremble with tumult, there is God speaking words of calm to our fear. What might be surprising is that God does not take away the chaos, but invites us to be in the midst of it, so that we might experience the grace that brings order. With such poignant words to suggest to us that even in the midst of the tumult, the possibility to be still and know God remains. When life swirls around, God invites us to be still and know the refuge and strength of the Lord. For me, it's a very good image to hold on to. Imagine yourself in the midst of the tumult, planting your feet, digging in your heels, experiencing God's undying love. In the midst of the mess, God is there, undaunted, steady, working order through God's inexhaustible grace. When I think of this text in light of today, I am left thinking about this order and chaos dynamic. And in my opinion, part of the task of reforming as people of faith and as a church has to do with embracing those moments of chaos, embracing those moments that are a bit messy, and learning from the mess, and even knowing that we are blessed in the midst of it. There's a quote I read this week that stuck. The invitation for people of faith is to bring the mess that we're in, even the mess that we are, to show up as our true selves, fears and regrets, and doubts and all. God can handle it. The communion of saints, that's us, the people of God, can handle it. You are loved, you are forgiven, you are free. But this is also where the text challenges me, because I prefer order, and I don't really appreciate mess. But I think that's a growing edge, being okay with chaos and mess, because in life, there will be mess. And maybe God calls us into the mess and away from our perfect and less flexible selves and structures to discover the certainty of God within the uncertainty of life. So I don't watch much TV, but occasionally I watch a show, very limited. And one thing I like to watch, surprise, surprise, these organizational shows. And if you've ever watched one of those, you might know that one key takeaway and game changer is that everything is taken out of the room, and you try and recreate it that way. You take everything out. Have you ever done that at home or in your office? It's interesting. The room becomes an open canvas, right? I know some of you here at St. Matthew's think of like all of what's hidden and all these rooms and take an inventory, especially as you talk about sustainability and redevelopment, what's in the Sunday school and the kitchen on the balcony and all those underneath shelves. Imagine, as I think of this, laying it all in the parking lot in piles to keep and to give away, and piles for garbage even. I think it's a simultaneously overwhelming and freeing process, perhaps symbolic of much more. And for some reason, this process of taking inventory of the mess reminds of me of a function of the law. And when I think of this, I'm reminded that the law does not conceal what is boxed or out of sight in a dark corner. The law makes visible so we can live faithfully and fruitfully in community with God and each other, laying visible and bare all who we are. And because God loves the humanity of who we are and asks us to embrace it. The law makes visible the blemishes of humanity, but the blemishes are made visible not to shame or ridicule or tarnish or ostracize, but to heal. The function of the law then might be to heal or to tidy the mess, and even to open our eyes to the mess so that the gospel may speak grace to those hurting parts. For me, house cleaning or church cleaning reminds us how the law lays visible what has been hidden for the purpose of healing and wholeness of all creation, and asks of us to show up with our whole selves, even the mess. Have you ever thought of the pictures we share with each other? I think it's that time of year, it's early, but people start to think about Christmas photos, at least those who go and get them done by a photographer, which is okay. Most often the pictures we share in our cards or on Facebook or Instagram are the picture perfect shots. We put our best foot forward with the family Christmas photos with all matching outfits in front of the well-decorated tree, for example. And there's nothing wrong with these. They're lovely, of course. I have many of these photos, and they bring me joy. But there's also another side that we don't share as often. And I share this with permission. One of my favorite family photos, I shared this with the board in the board devotion, but one of my favorite family photos is a Christmas afternoon a few years ago. And Sebastian and I had finished leading worship, you know, on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. And of course, we're both tired. I was sitting in one corner of the room, and the kiddos were happily playing on the floor in the midst of a tornado of wrapping paper and far too many toys. And on the floor is my barely visible husband having a nap out of exhaustion. And this is one of my favorite photo memories, and it makes me smile deeply because it's a more realistic picture of Christmas in our household. It communicates to me the full story of what it took to get to that moment. The long hours, little ones sometimes being sick or healthy, expectations, great joys, some sorrows, and some stress. To me, this photo lays it out there, and for that reason, I love it. And while the psalm speaks to us concretely of an image of chaos and order and reform in creation, the gospel says, the truth will set you free. But let's face it, truth can be a little messy. It gets at the nitty-gritty of who we are and goes beyond the picture-perfect snapshot. It also uncovers the not-so-pretty blemishes of our humanity, like the ongoing trauma of systematic racism for our Indigenous brothers and sisters. Like the messiness in the psalmody, lives can be messy. Even church has a messy side. There is no perfect person or community or church. And yet we continually strive to present this picture-perfect presentation. And for good reason. We want to inspire and be inspired to move beyond the mess of the world, to grasp onto something beyond us, to glimpse of something whole and beautiful, to be a part of a God-breathed possibility in the midst of us. God does not shame us for the messes or take away our worth or our status as children of God. Instead, God grants us the grace and forgiveness we need in the midst of the messes to learn and to grow from them and to enter into them and even bear fruit. As people and as a church, I think it would serve us well to embrace the messes. And I don't mean create messes, but embrace them when they happen. And with redevelopment, there are likely to be a few messes that invite us to venture out of our comfort zones. This pandemic has put us into a bit of a mess. And yet, there in the midst, God calls us to be still. There in the midst of the mess, God will be, forever and always, a refuge and strength, leading us to where God calls, to a place where we can stand steady and still in the knowledge that God is God and we are humans. And that's just the way it's supposed to be. Amen. You have been saved, hymn 598.
For by grace you have been saved, and even faith is not your own. It's the gift of God for you, and not the works that you have done. Don't let anybody boast, for this is God's great gift. Amen. So my grace all sufficient for each child who is my own. For my strength is now made perfect for each child who is my own. When you're weak and you are strong, for this is God's great gift. Amen. So this weakness with contentment I'll accept now with myself. All my hardships, pains, and griefs that still lie deep within myself. When I'm weak, then I am strong, for this is God's great gift.
With confidence in God's grace and mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need, responding to, Lord, in your mercy, with hear our prayer. Renew and inspire the church in the freedom of the gospel, O God. Where the church is in error, reform it. Where the church speaks your truth, strengthen it. Where the church is divided, unify it. Ignite in us the working of the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As the earth changes, as mountains shake and the waters roar, may we care for this planet as a holy habitation for all living things. Sustain all peoples and lands. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide areas of the world divided or traumatized by conflict. Especially, we pray for the violent situation unfolding in regard to the Mi'kmaq fishing in Nova Scotia. Free all from slavery and human trafficking, and protect all in harm's way.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Relieve those living in bondage to debt, chronic pain, or addiction. We pray for those using the safe injection site and fostering this alternative vision. Grant healing words and presence to those who are ill, especially Ruth Marie, Dolly, Frank, Judy, Bernice, Susan, Trinity Village, and all long-term care homes. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In this family of faith, we give thanks for courageous voices that have remained firm in their commitment to the one who frees us from sin and death. Centered in your grace, unify us in the hope of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Even in death, you free us and give us a place in your house. We give thanks for our ancestors who have shown us truth and freedom, especially Martin Luther and those who work for the renewal of the church. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Listen as we call on you, O God, and enfold in your loving arms all for whom we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
We'll stay in our seats to share the peace, but you can turn around and look at each other and greet with your eyes. Our offering hymn is 692, We Are an Offering.
Thank you. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives. They are yours. We are an offering. All that we have, all that we have, all that we hope to be, we give to you. We give to you. We lift our voices, we lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering.
Let us pray. God of life, you give us these gifts of the earth, these resources of our life and our labor. Take the offered in great thanksgiving and use them to set a table that will heal the whole creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
I'll invite you to stand if you're able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We praise you, O holy God.
Our maker, our lover, our keeper.
For the universe beyond our knowing.
For the seas and forests and fields.
For creatures seen and unseen.
For animals both wild and tame.
For our ancestors and godparents from around the globe.
And for places we humans call home.
For cities and churches and schools.
For seminaries and missions and fellowship halls. We praise you for your covenant people.
For Moses and Miriam and Aaron.
And for centuries of faithful Christians.
For Mary Magdalene, Peter, and Paul.
We praise you, O God, for Jesus Christ.
Who saves us from sin and from evil.
Embodying forgiveness, granting grace, setting us free. Who on the night before he died, took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so we remember your word, his life, his death, and his glorious resurrection, his presence in this meal around the world. And we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. We pray, O God, for your spirit.
Your breath, your fire, your wisdom.
Your law, your grace, your freedom.
Bless this meal and all who share it.
Inspire your people for service.
Continue to reform us.
And your church.
And renew the world with our mercy.
With your healing, your justice, and our peace.
With the joy of life in you.
We praise you, all holy God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You are part of the family of God. The feast awaits. Come to the banquet where Christ gives himself as food and drink. For those of you communing at home and for those of you in the pews who have brought your own bread and wine, I invite you to take the bread you have set aside for communion. The body of Christ given for you. I invite you now to take the cup you have set aside for communion. The body of Christ, blood of Christ shed for you. Now for those in the assembly wanting to receive the bread, the ushers will guide you starting at the back center. Hand sanitize and stop 2 meters in front, and I'll speak the words and then come forward, cup your hands, and I'll drop in the wafer with the tongs. Once we finish the side aisle, the center aisle will move to Charles Street and then Church Street. Okay. So you just said. I'll invite you to stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen us and keep us in his grace. Amen.
Holy and compassionate God, in bread and wine you give us gifts that form us to be humble and courageous. May your words come to life in our serving and in our witness, that we might speak a living voice of healing and justice to all the world. Through Jesus Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen.
God, creator of all things, speaking reformation into being, Jesus Christ, savior of the world, raising the dead, Holy Spirit, living voice, calling and enlightening the church, Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. A few general announcements. Join us today, if you're able, for our first ever Zoom virtual coffee hour. You know, during this time, we try new things and we evaluate how they work. If they work, we keep going, or we learn and do different things. So this is one of those. I hope you can join us. It starts at noon. Next Sunday, in addition to the Golden Hour radio broadcast at 11 a.m., worship will also be live streamed on Facebook starting at 9:30. One step we've taken in improving our communication with you, making our weekly e-blast more of a weekly newsletter. So take a look at that. It's trying to paint the story of what happens here. And if you aren't signed up, you might want to reach out to the office to sign up for this. Our sending hymn is 546, To Be Your Presence, and I'll invite you to be seated.
Go in peace, sound the good news.
Thanks be to God.